Let me hear those horns. Yes, awesome. So great to have you here. Whether you're here in our church parking lot or watching our streaming version on the web, we are glad that you're worshiping with us today. Just a quick announcement. Now, if you have a prayer request you'd like to make, we ask that you text number 540-495-0501, and Pastor Susan will include your request in our morning prayer. That's prayer request, text 540-495-0501. You know, it's been over 4 months in dealing with the COVID crisis, and that alone is enough. And then you add social unrest and political upheaval, and it's easy to become discouraged and frustrated and even fearful. Well, I'm here to tell you, we worship a God today that has overcome the world and who is with us whatever the strife. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 reminds us with these words, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And what a fitting way to begin our service this morning as we sing, "Stand in Your Love."
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. The shame no longer has a place to lie. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out the grave. There's resurrection power that can save.
job. Please pray with me. Loving God, Help us to focus on what we have, not on what is removed or changed. Strengthen us when we feel discouraged or overwhelmed. Embrace us so that we know your loving presence within us and among us. Walk with us as we bring your love and carry your light into the world. And remind us that you are our living hope. In the mighty and comforting name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our next song has a great message. Listen to the words as we sing Living Hope.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness your loving kindness poured through the shadows of my soul. From
Pastor Susan will now have our children's moments.
Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. I brought something with me that I made in my kitchen. And yes, some of you have bags of this, blue or green. And of course, it's slime, right? And it's very sticky. And I wanted to talk to you about something else that's very sticky, and that's the love of God. So our scripture, Paul tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so to me, that means God's love is kind of sticky. It sticks to us, and it holds us together so that God's love is always with us. And that helps me to remember that God is with us. So remember that. If you're squishing your slime in its bag, or with your parents' permission, at some point you take it out of the bag, just remember that it's sticky, but so is God's love, because it holds on tight to you. Let us pray. Dear God, we give you thanks that you don't let us go, that your love surrounds us, enfolds us, and carries us through all the times of our lives. So, Lord, we celebrate your sticky love. Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from Romans 8, verses 26 through 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with the sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn with a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is it to condemn? It is Jesus Christ, who died, yes, who was raised at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed. We are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors, though through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we have this assurance from Paul that nothing can separate us from your love. And if you are for us, who could be against us? Lord, we ask this morning that you be with us in our meditation and our thoughts. Help us, even in the midst of difficult times, to seize the joy that we have in living in you. All these things I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, when I was growing up, one of the things that, one of the ads that you often heard on television, one of the jingles was, I am stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids are stuck on me. And, you know, sometimes stickiness is a good thing, like with Band-Aids. You know, you want to protect your cut or your scrape and keep the dirt out of it. So Band-Aids are an excellent thing. Duct tape is also useful because it's so sticky. People have been using duct tape for all kinds of things, everything from patching holes, mending tears in tents, or even less obvious things like picking up pet hair off of the couch or healing plantar warts on your feet. But that sticky is a good thing, but there are other times when you don't want to feel something sticky, like you reach for the television remote, and if your hand comes back sticky, that's just kind of like, ooh, oh, that's gross. Now, I will say that, you know, when our kids were little, we had more issues with stickiness than we do now. But I can remember one of the little dollar store toys that my kids would get, or sometimes if they had a couple tickets that they won at the arcade, they might get something called the sticky hand. And, you know, it was just a hand-shaped thing, kind of looked like it was made out of Jell-O or gel of some kind, and it had a long tail on it, and the idea was that you would sling it by the tail, and the tail would stretch, and it would stick to something. And, you know, it would be fun for about 5 minutes. And then it would be so covered with dust and dirt and lint that, you know, you'd have a child coming up to you going, Mom, it doesn't stick anymore. And then you would surreptitiously throw it in the trash because it was gross. So sometimes sticky is a good thing. Sometimes not so much. But here, Paul is talking about the good kind of sticky. God's love for us is sticky because Paul says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, for Paul to say that is an amazing thing if you consider Paul's life. I mean, a few days after his conversion to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, God promises him that he would suffer much for God's kingdom. That's in Acts 9, verses 15 through 16. And that prison and hardship awaited him in every city. That was later in Acts 20. And so it did. Brutal treatment, harassment, strong opposition. That was what he faced most of the time. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts alone, Luke records at least 8 murder attempts on Paul's life. It seemed like angry mobs were often coming after him. He was beaten and imprisoned, and he even survived a shipwreck. And ultimately, he was martyred in Rome. Paul reckoned that he and the first apostles were like sheep being led to the slaughter, and yet he says they were more than conquerors. And that's an amazing claim. And the reason he can claim this is that he believed that nothing could separate him from God's love, that nothing could separate us from God's love, that God has stamped and marked us with the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. We are claimed and loved by our Creator. And you know the Greek word for image that Paul uses in verse 29 of chapter 8. It's familiar to you. The word is icon. Icon, you know, those little pictures on your phone screen or your laptop or your iPad. You know, the little picture like the email one looks like an envelope, or the camera lens is for the camera function. The one that looks like a speech bubble is for the text messaging app, and so on. And they tell you immediately what they stand for and what they do. And you have an icon stamped on you. It is the image of Christ, so that all who see you may know that you have the love of God in you. No matter how the world tries to reshape us, God has stamped us with the image of his Son. We may lose sight of it in ourselves or in others, but it's there. There's an old Jewish proverb that goes like this: to save a life is to save the whole world, and to take a life is to destroy the whole world. None of us can fully know the impact of a single life on others. Only God knows that. And it is God who placed that image of Jesus Christ upon us. Years ago, a sociology professor at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore assigned his class to go into one of the most disadvantaged neighborhoods in Baltimore and interview 200 boys who were in school. And then, on the basis of what they found, the answers to their questions, they were to predict what would happen to them in their futures. Well, the students were shocked at what they found in this depressed neighborhood. And the students estimated from what they heard that 90% of the boys interviewed would someday serve time in prison. Well, 20 years later, the same professor asked another class to go out and locate the surviving 200 boys and compare what happened to their prediction. Of the 180 boys they could find, only 4 had ever been to jail. Why had their predictions of the earlier class proven false? Well, a common denominator was that over 100 of them remembered having the same high school teacher. Her name was Miss O'Rourke, and she had been a tremendous influence on their lives, many of the boys said. Never doubt the power of love, especially the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I cannot vouch for the power of love in one teacher in Baltimore, but I have seen firsthand the love of another teacher I knew in King George, Virginia. Her name is Julie Boucher. She teaches first grade, and when I see her, I used to volunteer at the elementary school, and when I would see her walking down the hall with her class, you could tell she loved these kids. And she had a student once, years ago, and it was getting close to the end of the school year, and she asked him if he was looking forward to summer vacation, and he said, no. He said, I like coming to school. When I'm at school, I get enough to eat. Well, that conversation with that boy planted the seeds for a ministry called Summer Lunch Bunch. At first, they tried inviting the kids to the United Methodist Church around the corner from the school, which was Ms. Boucher's church. But they decided that what they really needed to do to reach more kids was to take the lunches to the children. So they began a ministry, and 3 days a week, volunteers would arrive early at the school cafeteria at the elementary school and start fixing sandwiches. And they would be packed up, and volunteers would come and deliver them into the neighborhoods that needed them most. And later, they added something else, a big plastic tub filled with books for each volunteer who delivered sandwiches. And the kids could take as many books as they wanted from the plastic bins that accompanied the drivers. For 7 summers, I delivered lunches. Lunch bags that contained peanut butter and jelly or turkey cheese sandwiches with a tea stick, probably some applesauce, a juice box, and more. Those were full sacks, full paper bags. And the kids came. They came sometimes in Spider-Man costumes or holding onto the hand of a little brother or sister. Some came with a parent. Some might be barefoot. Some came riding their bikes. But because Ms. Julie Boucher paid attention and recognized the image of Christ in every one of her students and the pain of hunger she saw so many years ago, all who came were fed. I'm a little sad to say that this year they did not have Summer Lunch Bunch because of COVID, but they did serve lunches at the school. Those children that I gave lunches to me, were an icon of Christ, revealed as a reminder to me of God's presence in the world. There are times when the love of God comes in the form of a brown paper bag. Now, when I think about that icon, that image of Christ, I also think of the movie Toy Story. If you've seen any of the Toy Story movies, you might remember that the little boy, Andy's favorite toy, is a cowboy doll named Woody. Woody has a polyvinyl hat, a holster, and a pull string that allows him to say phrases like, reach for the sky, this town ain't big enough for the two of us, somebody's poisoned the water hole, and there's a snake in my boot. But most importantly, on the sole of Woody's boot is written Andy's name in Andy's own handwriting. Just like Woody has Andy's name on the sole of his boot, God has stamped you with the image of Christ. You are that important to God, And the good news is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Everyone needs to know that strong grasp of God's love and the enduring marks on our souls. The mark that proclaims you belong to the God who formed you. And what can separate us from the love of Christ? Hardship or distress or persecution or famine or peril or sword? No, none of those things. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It is not death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor any all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That should be the thing that carries us through in the good times and in the troubling times and in the uncertain times, that God has stamped us, marked us, and called us his own. Amen. Well, we are appreciative of everyone who has been generously giving to the church. Sometimes of their time, there are people you don't see who are behind the scenes and make all of this service possible, and folks who have to our one community our community place. And this is some of what we have received them. And thank you, everyone who's donated. That it's just a wonderful display for those people who really don't have very much, for everything that you've donated and that you've done. So let us bless all that's been given. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that has been given in your service. Lord, we thank you for the work that has been done around the church. We thank you for the youth who came and worked here and cleared brush and stained playground equipment. We are so thankful for them. We're thankful for the grass being cut. We're thankful for those who clean the church. We're thankful for those who give of themselves, and we are thankful for those who give of what they have. Lord, bless all of us and continue to help us to serve you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, I think I heard a prayer request come in. So yes, a good reminder. So, we need to pray for all of our teachers, especially the ones who are not 100% sure of what this year is going to look like. We need to be in prayer. We want to be in prayer for Pat Lynn. She broke her ankle jumping into Lake Anna and is having surgery one day. So pray for Pat. She admits that she is not really happy being off of her feet. So keep her in your prayers. And we will pray for our teachers and our students. And one last announcement. Thank you for everyone who filled out the survey. If you haven't and you want to, go to the website and you'll see the survey on the front page, and you can tell us what you think about worship as it's coming up, what we should be doing in the weeks to come. And now let us pray. Loving God, we come to you in gratitude that we can pray and that you hear us. That in these moments, we remember your love and how it has enabled us to rise, to be our better selves. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came that we might know what perfect love looks like. We remember, too, the times when we have not loved perfectly. We recall that we have not always been patient, that we have at times not honored our neighbor as ourselves. But forgive us and help us to love what you love and love how you love. Lord, this morning we want to pray for our educators and for all those who work in the schools. Be with them as we enter into a new school year, but a school year like no other. Lord, be with our teachers and keep them safe. Be with our students and keep them healthy, and help us all to keep that spirit of wanting to learn and discover wisdom for ourselves. Breathe into us new life. Instill us with enthusiasm for the opportunities we have to begin again when we have made mistakes. Lord, empower us through your love. Unite us so that we might be able to work together and be the body of Christ in the world. I pray this morning for those who are dealing with illness and ask that you bring them wholeness in body and in spirit. Lord, bring healing to those who are in need of it. And although we cannot see the road ahead or where we will end up, Lord, we ask that you help us to follow you and do what you most want us to do. May our desire to please you, in fact, be pleasing to you. May we never do anything apart from that desire. Help us to trust in you always, even though we may feel lost at times. Lord, remind us we need not fear, for you are ever with us, and your love never departs from us. All this I pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Susan. For our final song, we're going to sing a wonderful hymn. Please listen to the words as we sing along. It's called Glorify Thy Name. Worship service this morning. We hope you have a blessed week.
And as you go forth, may you be stuck to the love of God, and may the love of Christ shine forth from you, for you are the image of Jesus Christ in the world. Amen.